Welcome to ITE 1, Module 6, Part 3, which will be the last part because we're almost done here. We're continuing with laptops. And are there any questions about labs or general issues that people are having that they don't mind putting out on the recording? All right, I will take the resounding silence as a no. If you have questions, I'm also going to do this at the beginning of the next one. So you can ask then as well. All right, we're going to continue on with infrared installation and configuration because infrared is unique to desktop. Infrared installation and configuration requires infrared to be turned on in BIOS just as Bluetooth does. Again, it usually will be, but if it isn't and you think it should be, check it. Next, turn on the device with infrared and point its transceiver at the port on the laptop.
That wasn't him, that
I'm
was someone
sorry?
else that was tapping.
Yeah, someone else is
Oh,
typing.
okay.
And let me hide my minimize my Ventrilo window so I don't lose my mind with Ventrilo.
You'll need that chat open though, so you can hear questions.
No, I'm not the
No.
chat, but the main Ventrilo window. Because every time the chats come in, I get Ventrilo dot dot dot. So I'm gonna minimize that for the moment. Okay, going back to infrared. So you've got infrared turned on the laptop. You turn on your device that has infrared, your infrared printer or whatever it happens to be, and you make sure that the transceivers are aligned properly. And they should be about 1 meter apart. The port feels like a small rectangular or oval-shaped window. So they're fairly easy to recognize on a laptop or a printer, a lot more so than like the remote control bits, which also use infrared. I'm sorry, I'm gonna have to adjust my sensitivity because it's cutting me out. So hang on just a moment.
It's not actually, but
Oh, it's not. The key clicks make me think it is. Okay, so I'll just keep going.
well, you can adjust it down by like 3 if you want, if it'll make you feel happy.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, I think I'm going to. Let's see, where is it?
Yeah, we'd hate to have you skipping in and out on the recording.
Yeah, that would be bad.
Okay, yeah, it's at
You're
four. It was from 17, now it's at 14. Okay. If the ports of the two devices are lined up correctly, an icon will appear on the taskbar, and a particular sound may be heard as configured in sound schemes. On XP, it's very noticeable. It was scary the first time it happened. Click this icon to bring up the infrared dialog box. In Windows XP and Vista, this dialog can also be accessed in the control panel. I'm not sure about 7. I would assume if it was that they put it here, but it doesn't seem to be here in the notes here. Through this dialog, you configure how you get notification about connections and how files are transferred, how images transfer from a camera, and the hardware tab will show you the port hardware itself. An external infrared transceiver can be connected via serial or USB if your laptop does not have one and you need one. Seems like a little bit of quite a bit of effort just to get an infrared port, but actually if
To
you
be
have an older
fair,
phone you might need one.
though, if you have the correct software such as Lurk for Linux, you can use your infrared dongle to control other things in your house like your stereo, so perhaps worth the bother.
Ah, okay.
Yes, anyone
Yeah,
with a
that would be cool.
Pacmate and with use of FS Commander can control their TVs, so things like that would be kind of cool, yeah.
Yeah, you could get a laptop to do that. That'd be kind of neat. Especially with netbooks being so small.
Well, that and
Remember
the
that
infrared thing
infrared
can
is line of
point.
sight. Yeah,
Like
that would be the hard
having
part.
a thing on an actual cord means you've basically got a turret-mounted port. You could have it any way you want, point it any way you want.
Actually, that's true. I hadn't thought about that, but that's cool. Remember that infrared is line of sight, so lining them up is important, and you can't have them too close together. And there can't be any obstructions in the way. And those are things that are kind of hard for people that can't see to figure out, so you're going to have to play a lot with these if this is what you want. Infrared is, of course, the same technology that is used to control your TV, your stereo, and other things with a wireless remote, and usually they're infrared, so you've already had probably some experience with this when you try and change your volume and wave the remote around trying to figure out how the heck to get it to go.
It's the blindy remote way.
Right end of the remote. Absolutely.
I actually saw this. I saw this girl, and she was facing completely the wrong way. And she's pressing buttons on this thing going, it's not working. The batteries must be flat. I only got them this morning. I'm like, no. Angela, turn around. This way. Press the buttons now. Oh! Yes, it can't see you if you point it that way.
I've actually heard if you have white walls, it will reflect off. You can reflect them off.
Yes, you can.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that makes sense. Sometimes you need to point the infrared very accurately, which is, like I said, very hard for us to do. Okay, if a laptop has cellular WAN technology built in, then if this is the case, then no additional configuration should be necessary to make it work. I have a feeling the should is in quote marks. Anyway, a switch or other toggle should be available if the connection is not active. Make sure cellular WAN is enabled in BIOS or WAN. The following seems to apply to external broadband cards or dongles, this next bit of the section here. Install the manufacturer's broadband card utility software. Use the utility software to manage the network connection. I've seen these, the Verizon Air cards have VZ Access thing, and I'm sure they've all got something like this. The cellular WAN utility software?
One of the gotchas that happened, and you've really got to check the specs of your netbook and stuff. Speaking of cellular WAN technology, the original generation of the Asus Aspire 1 had a SIM slot and no hardware to drive it. Acer Aspire 1 had a SIM slot and no hardware to communicate with the SIM. Man, there were some owners that were very unhappy about that.
Fail. Okay. The cellular WAN utility software can be located in the taskbar or in the start greater than all programs. So that's going to depend on how it was installed. Now we're going to talk about the different cellular standards. I will say that this part of the chapter annoys me.
Why?
Turn off my phone. I don't know, it's just confusing. Actually, the diagram is more confusing than anything. But if you guys want to look at that on your own, you can.
It's just basically a table, a historical table of the cell phone information. And it's really interesting to see how it progresses. It's something... Oh, well, their internet died. Good thing I'm home. It's a good thing to look at just to know the history of how the cell phones... came through the years and how much more advanced they got. We got like 1G where you can like just basically make calls and it's analog and they're bricks. Remember the bricks that your parents used to have?
Yeah, I am going to talk about it. It's not like I'm not going to talk about it. It's just, I guess the part of it that confused me the most and you may have the most trouble with is the part that talks about which standards are used where. That part's really confusing. I guess that's where I was going.
Well,
if you're traveling
enough.
Abroad... Make sure you check.
If you're traveling abroad, you're usually going to want the GSM standard at the moment. America...
Yeah. You want to be very careful about prices. I forgot that I didn't realize we'd crossed the border already, and I ended up paying $200 to using my data in the States. So check prices too when you go abroad because they will scalp you, and then they'll chip off what's left of your skull with a chisel.
Oh, that's not cool.
That's violent.
Sorry, I'm just making the point that they will charge you.
Good thing I've got a backup.
Welcome back.
We're back.
Hello. Yeah.
Sorry, I've just had a bit of an interruption from someone coming in, so.
It's okay.
That's over now. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it's basically the cheapest thing to do if you've already got a 3G phone and you're traveling is to get another like prepaid SIM card to use your phone in another country.
Okay, here we go. We're going to talk about this. When people began to use cellular phones, there were few industry-wide standards applying to cell phone technology. So, without standards, it was difficult and expensive to make calls to people that were on another network. Today, cell phones providers use industry standards, which make it easier to use cell phones to make calls. When the industry started, most cell phone standards were analog. Today, cell phone standards are mostly digital. Note, cell phone standards have not been adopted universally around the world. Some cell phones are capable of using multiple standards, whereas others can use only one standard. As a result, some cell phones can operate in many countries, and other cell phones can only be used locally. The first generation, these are on the test, so actually, or at least somewhat. So, let's see. So we have to at least know the progression between progression of the diagram of the generations. So here we go. The first generation, or 1G, of cell phones began service in the 1980s. First generation phones primarily used analog standards, including Advanced Mobile Phone System, AMPS, and Nordic Mobile Telephone, NMT. In an analog system, the voice information is sent by varying the radio signals used by the phone into the same patterns as the speaker's voice. Unfortunately, this meant that interference and noise, which also varied the signal, cannot easily be separated from the voice in the signal. This factor limits the usefulness of analog systems. Another downside to these systems is that the conversations were easily eavesdropped upon because certain scanners would pick up the frequencies used by the phones. That's my note. Cisco doesn't tell you about that. So, just to be clear. But that did happen quite a bit, I understand. Digital signals convert the speaker's voice into a series of ones and zeros. This technology does degrade the signal a little because ones and zeros are not a faithful representation of your voice. However, the digital signal is robust. It can be fixed using error correction routines if there is interference. Also, digital signals can be compressed, making the system much more efficient than analog. In the 1990s, the second generation, 2G, of cell phones was marked by a switch from analog to digital standards. Second generation cell standards included Global System for Mobile, GSM, Integrated Digital Enhanced Network, IDEN, and Code Division Multiple Access, or CDMA. I think I remember seeing that IDEN is more for push-to-talk. I'm not quite sure about that, but I think I saw that in the note somewhere. The third standard, third generation standards, enable cell phones to go beyond simple phone and data communications. It is now common for cell phones to send and receive text, photos, and videos. This third generation is known as 3G. It is also common for 3G cell phones to access the internet and to use the Global Positioning System, or GPS. Note that as 3G standards were being adopted and developed, extensions to the existing 2G standards were added. These transitional standards are known as 2.5G. Fourth generation, or 4G, standards have been championed by many users in response to the availability of increased data rates. Higher data rates will allow users to download files such as videos and music faster than what was available with standards of previous generations. New technologies that add multimedia and networking functionality can be bundled with cell phone standards. These will be listed shortly. Most cell phone providers charge extra for adding these features. Okay, this is the one that has the standards and what countries they're used in. Should we go there, or should I skip it?
We should all probably be able to read it.
Yeah, I think you can probably find. I think you can probably read that. It basically is a little bit explains some of the same things I've said here. I will find the one that talks about. Let's see. Happen. Here are some of the services that you can. The internet standards that you can get, you can have on your phone, and these are bundled separately. We have short message service, SMS, used for text messaging, Multimedia Message Service, or MMS, is used for sending and receiving photos and videos. Packet switching is used for accessing the internet. So some those are kind of interesting. Now we're going to talk about preventive maintenance. We'll go through preventive maintenance because for laptops it is important. And then we're going to leave the troubleshooting and common solutions to you guys. The common solution sections, which is usually the second to last section of the chapter, are becoming more important as the exams have changed. Please read those, or you may miss questions on your exams. They're taking more from that common, you know, for example, common laptop problems and solution section. So we're going to talk about preventive maintenance now, but I just thought I'd put that here. In some ways, preventive maintenance is even more important for laptops than desktops, because while desktops are usually meant to stay in one place, laptops get used everywhere and in extremes where desktops are not used, because you can take laptops all over. In addition, laptops are more easily damaged by accidents such as drops, falls because of improper or careless placement, food or liquid spills, etc. Spills are particularly dangerous because so many components are underneath the keyboard and they're all packed in tight. With a desktop, if you knock your can of soda into the keyboard, everything else might be okay, you just get a new keyboard and move on. This isn't possible with a laptop because such a spill can cause serious damage. In the case of a family member, they had a motherboard replaced. They had to get a motherboard from eBay because one of her friends spilled water into the laptop and didn't tell her about it until afterwards, which was very nice of them. She was lucky that my dad was able to fix it. So keeping this kind of thing in mind, laptops should be clean and used in safe and appropriate environments. Proper routine cleaning is the easiest, least expensive way to protect and extend the life of a laptop computer. It is very important to use the right products and procedures when cleaning a laptop. These cleaning procedures are testable. You want to always read all warning labels on the cleaning products. The components are very sensitive and should be handled with care. Consult the laptop manual for additional information and cleaning suggestions. Before performing any cleaning procedure, regardless of what it is, always do these things. These seem common sense, but we have to do them. Turn off the laptop, disconnect all attached devices, and disconnect the AC adapter, and remove all of the batteries. All of these procedures are going to say this that I give, so I'm not going to repeat that for every procedure because I'm going to assume that you've already done that. But these could be on any test or final, so these are pretty basic. Sorry, my microphone got moved. For the keyboard, you want to clean it by wiping the laptop and the keyboard with a soft, lint-free cloth lightly moistened with water or screen cleaning solution. I would prefer the screen cleaning solution, personally, if it were me. For the vents, you're going to, for vent cleaning, use compressed air or a special vacuum cleaner for computer use to clean dust and debris from the vent and the fan behind the vent. Do not vacuum the computer with a household vacuum cleaner, or you may lose parts of the laptop, like, you know, touchpads or something, like somebody we know. This is hard, and there's an actual really cool satirical song called Clean the Fan on YouTube, and you can find it in the Cavi Discuss archives. It's really fun, and apparently the video is also quite good if you can see it. But it demonstrates that cleaning that fan is not the easiest thing in the world sometimes. Blaze should be cleaned with a soft, lint-free cloth, moistened with a mild cleaning solution. And I'm thinking this is more true of CRTs, because if you're talking about an LCD, there are specific LCD cleaning kits that can be used. And I had one that I had gotten for my iPod that I liked. It came with like little microfiber cloth and little, they look like moist towelettes, but they were really cool. So this is very, very important. We're talking about LCDs. Do not apply cleaner directly onto a display. Instead, apply it to the cloth first, then use that to clean the display. Actually, you need to do that for all of them. Steve's talking clock has just gone off, so let me just close that. All right, there we go. Only use products designed for LCD screens. Do not use Windex or glass cleaner on these because this can damage the coating on the screen. For the touchpad, clean it with a soft cloth and an approved cleaner. PDA screens and other portable devices need special care, in part because these are often touch screens, either operated by your fingers or a stylus. Dirt can impair the device's ability to detect stylus taps or movements. Dirt can scratch the screen as well. So you're going to clean this with a small amount of non-abrasive cleaner on a soft lint-free cloth. Use a screen protector that sticks to the screen or another case that covers the screen. That's actually a really cool idea. And some of those will provide a frame around the screen that can make it easier to find things like my outer box. As before, apply all cleaning solutions to a cleaning cloth and not the actual surface you want to clean. You're going to use a commercially available cleaning kit to clean a floppy drive, because floppy drive cleaning kits include pre-treated floppy disks that remove contaminants from the floppy drive heads that have accumulated through normal operation. Remove all of the media from the floppy drive, then insert the disk and let it spin for the suggested amount of time. Dirt, dust, and other contaminants can collect in the optical drives as well. Contaminated drives can cause malfunctions, missing data, error messages, and lost productivity. Use a commercially available CD or DVD drive cleaning disk. Many floppy disk cleaning kits include an optical disk cleaner as well. Like with the floppy disk cleaner, optical disk cleaner kits contain a cleaning solution and a non-abrasive disk that is inserted into the optical drive. Remove all of the media from the optical drive, insert the cleaning disk, and let it spin for the suggested amount of time to clean all contaminated or contact areas. Finally, and you would just make sure and very carefully read the directions that come with this. Cleaning a CVD or DV disk, inspect the disk for scratches. You'll probably need sighted help to find those. Replace disks that contain deep scratches because they can create data errors. If you notice problems such as skipping or degraded playback quality with your CDs or DVDs, clean the disks. Commercial products are available that clean disks and provide protection from dust, fingerprints, and scratches. Cleaning products for CDs are safe to use on DVDs. When you're cleaning a disc, hold the disc by the outer edge or by the inside edge. Gently wipe the disc with a lint-free cotton cloth. Never use paper or any material that can scratch the disc or leave streaks. No paper towels, guys. Wipe from the center of the disc outward.
Yes. If you are using burnt media, do not clean the burnt media with one of those CD grinders, because as the CD grinder grinds down the surface of the disc to make it nice and smooth and shiny, which works really well on music CDs, it takes the data layer off. So let's not be doing that.
Yeah, and burnt media, I don't know if you've noticed, is really incredibly thin anyway. So yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. It's really thin nowadays.
The disc?
Yeah, the discs seem a little bit thinner, I think. The ones that you buy for burning than a commercial disc. I don't know if it's just me, but they certainly seem thinner. Okay, wipe from the center of the disc outwards. Never use a circular motion. Apply a commercial CD or DVD cleaning solution to the lint-free cotton cloth if you've got it, and wipe it again if any contaminants remain on the disc. Allow the disc to dry before it is inserted into the drive. Okay, so that's preventative maintenance. We're going to go on to the quiz, unless anyone has any questions. We had a great worksheet on the troubleshooting process, so hopefully you're really good at that. And as I said before, please look at the common problems and solutions. That'll help you answer some of your questions better with that. Okie dokie. Here is the quiz. Are you all in your? We all in our chat windows and ready to go here?
I am, except I'm not answering the questions.
I need to close some of these Skype windows. Yep, that works.
Everybody is except Ms. Pat.
Okay.
Shani just got
there. She is.
If you wanna. Yeah, that's true.
There we are.
I'm here. Sorry, we have Hello. Thunderstorms Hi, going on.
Oh, it's okay.
Oh goodness.
It just made
oh,
it here.
Your turn. We had a mild weekend.
Yeah, you're
it's,
fine.
It's all good. I was just pointing out
I had
that
a
you
chuckle.
If you, yeah. What's up?
I just chuckle. I was speaking to somebody on Twitter, and I'm just like, have you considered getting a UPS in case you get thunderstorms? And she's like, yeah, I've got a UPS, and it's got surge protection and everything. And I'm like, then why are you still shutting down?
Because I had one that went fried.
Not you, personally. This person I was speaking to on Twitter. Well, the fact is, if lightning comes in close to it anyway, having it unplugged isn't going to protect it. It's still going to go, as I discovered.
Oh, you mean they unplug it, too? You said, why
oh,
are
Oh, yeah,
you
they shut it down,
down,
unplug it.
To me, shutting it down is what you do. I mean, you don't have to
No, you have to unplug. No, you have to unplug it, because it can come through the power grid. So, it's a case of how much risk you want to run. If it's plugged in, there's a higher risk it's going to get hit by a lightning surge. But even if it's not plugged in, if lightning comes down within 20 metres of where you are, which is feasible, the actual electrical disturbance in the area will destroy the circuitry regardless of whether it's plugged in or not.
Yeah, well, wow. I'd rather just cross my fingers and unplug everything,
oh, yeah.
Modem included.
Fair enough.
Yep.
Oh, I had a modem blow up. I was never happier to see a piece of technology go.
Oh, you must not have liked it.
Actually,
it was a pile.
When mine blew up, I was walking over towards it to unplug it, and I was probably about half a meter away. Pop. And I'm just like, ooh, that would have been unpleasant.
Oh, man.
Yeah. I'll just stop right here. Okay.
Yeah.
Here we go. Here we go. Question number one. Which two features make laptops a good alternative to desktop computers? Choose two. So this would be a yes or no. How about A, laptops have compact design? Yep, that's right. That's one. That's why we all like them. Okay. How about lower cost? Yep, that's right. They're actually, well, apart from the netbooks, laptops can still be more expensive than desktops, at least according to Cisco. How about C, enhanced capabilities? No, very good, very good. How about portability?
Well, if that isn't unanimous, I don't know what is.
Absolutely. Absolutely, you can take them anywhere. Well, there actually are some places you shouldn't take them, but yeah. That's why we like them, because they're compact and portable, so there's the advantages there. Two, which lap device is commonly hot swappable? Is it A, display, B, internal hard drive, C, PC card, or D, RAM? Answer now. Yep, PC cards are hot swappable. That's the
yes,
point.
That's right. Unless you're Sean and live in the fantasy world where D is the answer.
I thought I got the keyboard and RAM mixed up in my story. Leave me alone. If they were here or listen to the recording, they're already laughing at me anyway. Okay. Number three. Which three ports are identified in this? We have. Hang on. Okay. How this is going to be.
How about we just not do that question?
Yeah, it's one of these ones that says, refer to the exhibit. Which three ports are identified as A, B, and C in the graphic? How about we just not go there?
Do you have descriptions?
I have answers. I don't have descriptions.
Okay.
Also, getting the students to remember three things at once and type them in may cause, like, psychic overload, so let's not...
No. You describe one port at a time, and then you have them see if they can figure out what it is.
Okay, what do you guys want to do?
Do you guys want some practice with diagram descriptions or no?
Because I don't have any here. It'd just be...
Well, if you don't have the descriptions, then we'd have to make them up. So
no,
let's
I don't have
make
them
up and do them another time. That's probably safer, because otherwise we'll just be making it. I mean, we can all say, a 9-pin male port that accepts a deconnector, and then you all have to guess what it is.
What it is, yeah.
But that would just be me making them up.
Yeah.
Well done.
That would be serial.
Absolutely. Good job.
Correct. Okay, number 4. Which type of memory is used in laptops? Is it A, DIMM, B, RIM, C, SIM, or D, SODIMM? Answer now. Absolutely, it is a SODIMM. And some of those other choices, I'm not even sure what they are. Well, I'm not sure what RIMM would be, for example. Oh, I think
that is an Intel memory. No, it's still common, actually. It's very common. Oh. It is a specific Intel memory standard that is used in a special set of Xeon chipsets for bank switching. And yes, you can still buy RIM memory. It's used in servers.
Yeah, I've seen
that's good to know.
Too.
It's expensive.
That makes me feel better.
Mm-hmm.
Number 5. Which power management control was introduced prior to advanced configuration and power interface? Is it A, ACCI, B, ACPI, C, AMD, or D, APM, or E, APA? The answer is D, because APM, advanced power management, which controls things through the BIOS, came first, and then ACPI happened after. They were asking which one came before ACPI. That's okay. They did word that a bit strangely.
I wondered whether anybody would get bitten by the word prior.
All right, number 6. I'm sorry?
They were just, it was just a tricky thing.
Tricky
to...
devils.
Oh, okay. Number 6. What do FireWire and USB devices have in common? A,
you can have
only
pay
one
too
of
much
these
for
devices
the cables.
Can be used at a time. Yes, that's true. Anyway, A, only one of these devices can be used at a time. B, they are considered hot swappable devices. C, they cannot be used with desktop PCs. D, they are parallel communication devices. Answer now. Absolutely, these are hot swappable, or we'd have to always turn our computer off to get our flash drives out. And that would be
when you're running AVG, you pretty much do.
Okay, number 7. What should a user do when operations on a USB memory device have been completed and it is not necessary to remove it from the laptop computer? Hang on, that doesn't make sense.
What?
Oh, and it is net. Hang on, I read it wrong. Hang on. Reader fail. What should a user do when operations on a USB memory device have been completed and it is necessary to remove it from laptop computer? Sorry, complete fail here on my end. A, reboot the computer. B, choose Start greater than Control Panel greater than System. Select the USB device, then the Properties tab, click Remove. C, click the Safely Remove Hardware icon in the Windows System tray. Or D, just remove the USB device from the computer. Choose now. Absolutely, we do safely remove hardware. That is what we do. If you have descriptions for question 3, we can come back to it.
I do. Yep, okay, cool.
I don't know why mine didn't. Maybe.
Because I don't. I can just pull them off the top of my head because I've just seen what ports they are.
And if you look at Grace, she's currently got descriptions stuck to the top of her head. Limit of one per customer. Your mileage may vary.
I thought about that because I knew which ones they were, but we'll come back to that at the end.
Cool.
Okay, number 8. Let me try and read more carefully. Which two steps are recommended when cleaning a laptop LCD screen? Choose now. Choose two. A, clean the display screen using tissue moistened with water. B, disconnect all devices attached to the laptop. Hang on, this is an ABCD. I'm sorry. Wait, no, this isn't. I'm so sorry.
Wow.
We're going to pick, this is a yes, no. You guys are right. Clean the display screen using tissue moistened with water. You're right, that's no. That just seems like a totally bad idea. How about B? Disconnect all devices attached to the laptop prior to cleaning the display screen. Yep, we want to do that. How about C? Power off the laptop prior to cleaning the display screen. Grace, are you writing a book to me on MSN, or is that someone else?
No, that's someone else.
Okay. D, remove all sources of the power of power after cleaning the display screen. Well, we actually already got R2, so we'll just move on. Okay. Number 9. What is the easiest, least expensive way to extend the life of a laptop and keep it in optimal working order? Okay, this is not a choose to. A. Replace parts regularly. B. Clean the laptop regularly. C. Do a clean reinstall of the OS. D. Back up the important information monthly. Choose now. That is correct. Now, some people might think that C is the right answer, but no, we actually want to clean the laptop. There are some people that just reinstall at the drop of a hat, though. It's quite interesting.
Imaging technology, it's actually faster to reinstall than mess around with registry cleaners and fiddling around with witches, /windows/system32/guppy.dll is missing. It's like, yeah, I've got an image, and that'll be 3 minutes of my life rather than half an hour trawling forums. So if you've got good backups, a re-image is definitely the fastest thing to do. That's right, we'll be talking about that tomorrow, how you can, for $49, have an image solution that is accessible to you as a blind person, and you will have images so that you can...
Oh, that's our topic tomorrow. Cool.
I think so, yes.
I think he's just decided. We talked a little bit about it again, but we're going to revisit it, apparently.
No, totally.
No, this is a different one.
New one.
This is totally image for Windows, not for Linux. This is for the I'm petrified of GRML, help mummy, and then you load the Windows utility.
Okay. All right, we're not quite done with the quiz yet. Number 10. How would a technician determine which key to press in conjunction with the FN key to connect a laptop to an external projector? Okay. A. Access the Microsoft Online Help. B. Locate the key with the monitor image imprinted. C. Access System BIOS Help by pressing the key that is associated with Help. D. Use the Help menu option and the particular for the particular application that is active.
What about tear wildly around the venue, finding somebody that has some idea how to get the projector going in a panic before the presentation starts, then followed by pressing every key in conjunction with the FN until the monitor goes flick, then sigh with relief?
Now, the answer is B. You locate the key with the monitor image imprint, or you research it beforehand in the manual or something. 11. Which power mode turns the CPU off, but the RAM is still being refreshed? Okay, here we go. A is S0, B is S1, C is S2, D is S3, and E is S4, and F is S5. Choose now. I like the multiple answers. They have S2 marked here.
That is correct.
That is correct. It's the key with S3 is the RAM is refreshed at a slower rate of speed. That's how you remember those. Okay, number 12. What Windows Vista laptop power plan saves open documents and applications to a temporary file on the hard drive, with the result that it takes longer to bring the computer back to a usable condition? A. Deep hibernation. B. Hibernate. C. Hybrid sleep. D. Sleep. Answer now. The answer they're looking for is B, is hibernate. Because that actually takes the longest. Sorry about that. They do make that a bit confusing. Number 13. Which three components can often be removed while power is still applied to a laptop? Choose three. This is yes or no. A. Battery. Yes or no. No, that is right. B. Express card. Yep, those can be removed. That's good. How about external optical drive? Yes, those can be removed. If the optical drive can come out, then yeah, you can safely remove it usually and pop it out. Because it says external optical drive. How about D, flash drive? Yep, that's correct. We have that is correct. You can take your flash drive out. There are two other choices, but we have our three. So let's keep going. 14. A person is unable to connect to the home wireless network of a friend. The wireless network fails to appear as a network. The laptop is in the same room as the access computer point. The wireless NIC is enabled. What is a possible solution to this problem? Is it A. Attach the AC adapter. B. Remove unused devices. C. Configure the SSID and any security settings manually. D. Attach an external wireless antenna and configure the wireless NIC to use it instead of the internal one. Choose now. The answer is C. We need to configure it manually. This is something people do intentionally because they don't want their network popping up in the list. So if you know that's the case, then you have to go in and choose that. You have to hit other, or this is a hidden network, or some similar functionality. Number 15. An infrared device fails to appear under the infrared hardware tab. Which task would resolve this issue? A. Move the device closer to the receiver. B. Enable infrared in device manager. C. Enable infrared broadcasting on the device. D. Remove the protective covering from the infrared device access window. Choose now. The answer is A. Move the device closer to the receiver. They've got. That is also the end of the quiz. Except we're going to go back to number 3, right? Grace, would you like to do that?
Yep, I can do that. Okay, so I'm going to tell you guys your choices first. So you do have 6 choices as I describe these things. So you have A, modem, B, network, C, parallel, D, PS2, E, serial, F is VGA. So those are your 6 choices. I'm going to describe 3 of those choices to you, and you are going to pick out which thing I am describing. Drew didn't get any of these questions on his A+. He was extremely lucky. If you're taking the A+, you may. So this is why we do these sort of things. All right, so the first one we have is going to be a 25-pin female connector. Can anyone tell me what that would be for?
Oh, we flummoxed them all. Oh, no, we've got a couple
No. Absolutely, that is a parallel port. No, it's not a VGA.
And it could be SCSI, but that wasn't in her list of options. Just so you know, the SCSI ones look exactly the same, and if you get them wrong, bang. But that's not in her list of options.
They're trying to be easy.
I will be back in a moment while you...
Yeah, right.
No problem. Okay. All right, so the next one is round. Little round connector. I believe 6 pins. Little round connector. That is a PS2. You guys are all right. So the next one.
Technically known as a mini DIN connector.
Mini DIN.
Where DIN stands for Deutsch Industry Norm. But you don't actually need to know that unless you happen to be doing lots of MIDI or audio work.
Alright, the last one is a 15-pin female connector. Anyone else? Okay. No, serial is 9-pin. If you said VGA, you're correct. If you had trouble with these, go back and look at the port descriptions in your notes, because this is something you want to know how to do.
And nothing is going to make it possible for you to remember that a VGA port is got 15 pins unless you dance around your house going, VGA is 15, serial is 25, serial is 9, and you just embed them. There's no other easy way, because like last time I checked, 15 didn't rhyme with VGA in any way.
Well, that rhymes. 15 doesn't rhyme with VGA in any way. There you go. Now everybody can remember it.